Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and this is July 11th, 2019, the last half hour of it, anyway. And tonight's going to be another all-prophecy show for individuals. I have 13 words. They're longer words than usual. I thought I was doing a regular podcast this week, but early on Sunday, the Lord just started speaking to me words out of the blue. I wasn't praying or anything when I started getting them. So anyway, for anyone who has never listened to one of my prophetic broadcasts, how you know if a word is for you is when you're listening to it, if it sounds like the Lord is speaking right to you, then that word is for you, regardless of any name that is attached to it, because a word can be for more than one person. And anytime you're reading His word or anytime you're listening to a sermon, if it feels like God's talking just to you, He's talking to you in that. Okay, let's get started. Most of the time, for those of you who don't know me well, most of the time I have no idea who these words are for. Occasionally, the Lord will show me in my spirit if it's somebody that I know. But if you email me and say, was that word for me? I will probably say, I have no clue. Okay, there's a woman listening to this podcast. You have been stealing from your employer to pay for your opioid drug habit. The Lord says you are about to get caught. You have 1 week from the day you hear this to stop stealing from your employer, or disaster is going to strike your life and all will be lost. And by the way, if y'all hear snoring in the background, there's not a man with me. That is my dog who sleeps with me. So I'm just telling y'all. Okay, there is a man listening to this podcast. You have been abusing your dog, and the Lord is angry. He is very angry at your sin. You know what this sin is, and you know why it displeases Him so. I don't know for sure, but I think you may be sexually abusing that poor animal. The Bible calls that bestiality. If you are, and bestiality is a perverse sin that brings a curse on you. And nobody can break a curse that God sends on you, by the way. In biblical times, people who committed bestiality were killed. You have much rage in your heart, and you take this rage out on that helpless dog and on the people around you. The Lord says to tell you, sir, that this moment is your last chance to repent. If you do not, He will allow chaos to be unleashed on you, and you will become the victim of others' abuse. For real this time, not just the wrongs that you have imagined in your mind that have kept you so angry. You're hearing this podcast by accident, but you know it's God talking to you. You should know that this is all by God's design, because I have no idea who you are. This is your last chance to repent and turn from those sins and that abuse forever on the people and on the animals, or you won't like the result if you do not repent now. And to repent, in case you don't know, means to be very sorry for what you've been doing, sorry enough that you stop doing it and you ask God to forgive you for it. You make your choice now. God is real. He sees your sin, and He is very angry at how you're hurting that poor animal and those people, and He will not stand for it any longer. Choose now, this moment, whether you will continue or you will repent and turn from your sins. There's a man listening. You don't know it, sir, but you only have a short time to live. You are going to be in a car accident that will take your life. The Lord says for you to get your affairs in order and to start repenting each day of any sins that you committed that day. And the Lord says, tell your son that you love him. You know why He's saying for you to do that. Okay, there's a woman listening. You are lazy. You don't like to exert any effort unless you have to. The Lord says, this is why you have not answered His call to missionary work on your life. He says, as a result, He wants you to know that a disaster is going to strike where you live, and because of your laziness, you will be killed in it. Okay, there's another woman listening who has a particular type of cancer. I think this is maybe like an unusual type. You also have some other health issues. You talk about these medical issues a lot. You are a believer, and you wonder why God has not healed you. People at your church have prayed for you to be healed. So why are you not healing me, Lord? Have I not been a good Christian? And the Lord says to you, yea, I desire to heal you, but you would not be made whole. The Lord says your sickness has become how you see yourself, ma'am. I see it has become your identity in your mind. You actually like all the attention you get for your illnesses. The Lord says to tell you, ma'am, that because you would rather glory in your infirmities than be made well, that you will die of your illnesses. But he wants you to know that that was never his will. You have idolized your diseases, and you will come to hate them before your death. His will was that you rebuke the sicknesses from the very start, stand on his word, receive your healing, and bring him glory. This is something, y'all, that I see a lot, especially living in a retirement community like I do now. People who have fallen in love with their diagnoses. They talk about them. They give you every tedious detail of what's wrong with them and every medical name of all the pharmaceuticals they take for them. While you listen, desperately wishing you were someplace else, nobody wants to hear your medical details except maybe your doctors. Can I just tell you that? I have never, ever seen a single person like this receive their healing. You know why? Because most of them don't want to be healed. They would rather keep their pain so they can glory in their infirmities while people fawn over them and make over them in their sick beds. They don't want to give up that attention. So they're willing to stay sick to keep it. The other reason that you don't see people like this getting healed is they believe so strongly in the diagnosis and what the doctors tell them is wrong, that they're buried so far under those mountains of diagnoses, they can't dig their way out to get healed. The next time you are tempted to tell somebody your entire medical history, remember that you are not honoring the Lord, giving lip service to all that mess the devil put on you. Can I just say that? You know, in John chapter 5, we had the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. This is what was going on with him, I believe. It says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. He was sick for 38 years. Now, you can have compassion on that for sure. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to them, do you want to be made well? You know, do you even want to be well? And the sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise up, take your bed and walk. In other words, get up, dude, get up. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, because he did something about it instead of just talking about how long he'd been lying there and how sick he was. It was as if the man was saying, everybody else is being made well. What about me? Poor me. I've been here all these years and I just can't get my healing. You can't get your healing because you won't stop talking about your sickness. That is a word for somebody right there. The Lord said, you can't get your healing because you won't stop talking about your sickness. That goes back to the revelation the Lord gave me in 2009. He said, every time you speak a thing, you decree it. And there's a verse in the book of Job that says, when we decree a thing, we establish it. So when you speak it, you're claiming it and you're keeping it. Can I just say that? Speak it, you claim it, you keep it. We'll just make that up tonight. Okay. I am here to tell you that your family and everybody around you are sick to death of hearing you go on and on and on and on about your illnesses. If you want to get better, and this goes for everybody, this is for everybody, this part right here. If you want to get better, stop talking about it. Because if you don't, the Lord says you're going to die. And it's going to be soon. Okay, there's a man who's hearing this part of this podcast by accident. You are having an affair behind your wife's back, sir. The Lord says you are about to contract a sexually transmitted disease, and if you have relations with your wife, she is going to know you have been cheating. He says he has tried to get you to repent, but you enjoy that affair too much, and that woman is pretty, and you just refuse to give her up. So the Lord says to you, man of God, this moment when you hear this is your last chance to repent of that before you will be found out if you refuse. The Lord says he is giving you over to your sin, and you will be found out, and it will cost you more than you ever dreamed. Not only that, but the woman you are having an affair with will also leave you before you are even free to marry again. The Lord says to tell you that contrary to what you believe, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. And he said, you'll know that that's him speaking to you when I say that. His word is true. Okay, I see a youngish man. You have light brown hair. You are of a slight build, tall and slender. You have a really, really good job. It's a solid career and you do real well in it. You honor the Lord in your heart. That's why the Lord is speaking this to you. He says you are a man of integrity. Oh, he's given me your name. The Lord says to you, Russell, that you are about to have an accident at work. It's a serious accident. It will not be your fault, but you will suffer terribly from it. I think you may work in the oil and gas industry, but I'm not sure. It's maybe something related, but what I see in the spirit reminds me of a refinery. This accident is equipment related, but the company does not want to be at fault. He says, be sure you have long-term disability insurance. If you don't, go sign up for it right now. This will be a long-term disability, and what long-term disability insurance will give you, you know, X percentage of your salary that you make or your pay that you make while you're on a long-term disability. I had short-term disability one time, and if you have disability, I think the short-term pays first and then the long-term disability kicks in, so be sure that you have that. The good side is it will give you more time for the Lord and more time with your wife and child, which you have been longing for, he said. Don't wait, Russell. Get that insurance now so you can provide for your family when you are laid up recovering. Okay, there is a woman listening to this who is unhappy with her marriage. You feel your husband does not do enough to make you happy and provide for you. You feel you could have done better in the husband department. You've been married for a while now, and your discontent is not hidden from your man. The Lord says to tell you, woman of God, that the problem is not your husband. The problem is you have a Jezebel spirit, and you are allowing it to stay. Right now, you want to turn this off, but he says, you listen to what I have to say. The Lord says he wants you to start rebuking that spirit and command it to leave you right now in Jesus' name. He says he wants you to stop belittling your husband as of this moment. He says to stop spending the money that man works like a dog to make on frivolity, expensive makeup and clothes you don't need, on visits to the hairdresser you feel you deserve, all of it. But the Lord says you are dressing Jezebel at your husband's expense, and he will stand for it no longer. The Lord says if you do not obey him in these things and start treating your kind-hearted husband with respect in every way as a wife should treat her husband, and you know what he's talking about, that he is going to allow your bitterness to eat you alive. He is going to allow Satan to put cancer on you. It will be in the female and stomach areas, and it will eat you alive from the inside out. You will lose all your hair, all your beauty, and everything you own in your fight against it, and you will still lose the fight, he says. You will die a horrible, pain-filled death for the misery you have caused that good-hearted man that you are married to unless you stop your behaviors now and repent. Tell God you're sorry, ask forgiveness, make amends to the husband, and turn back to being a loving wife as soon as you hear this. The choice is yours. You are the only one. You are the only one who will lose if you refuse to do this. The man's going to be just fine, but you're not. Mark. Someone named Mark. The Lord says your life is going along pretty well right now, pretty uneventful, stable like you like it. But he says to tell you that that is all about to change, Mark. You are about to get a medical diagnosis that will change everything. Mark, your wife is going to leave you over this illness. She will not stand by your side in this. The Lord says she has been just going through the motions in your marriage for years now. Really, she wants out, but she knows that she has no good reason for wanting out. She's just kind of bored with it all. You are one of those dependable, good, stable men that make great husbands, but you make boring partners in life, and she is bored. The Lord says, when you get this diagnosis, know that your life will change in many ways, not just from the disease itself. And he says, flow with it, that he has a plan, and to tell you that it will be okay. You will be okay. I wouldn't be surprised if he heals you later after the divorce. This disease may be to show you what you need to see, to make you appreciate every moment of life more, and to set her free, because her heart left you a long time ago. Joanne or Joanna, I see a great lightness about you. You spend a lot of time in an attitude of worship to the Lord. The Lord says you are about to have an angelic visitation, and it's from Him. This angel will bring you a message, and this message will become your ministry. It is a word from the Lord. He wants you to preach around the world, and at least part of that will be literally around the world. I see you going to places like India and China, although I know Christianity is pretty much outlawed in China. But the Lord says you like adventure, so I'm not saying He's sending you to China, but places like that. The Lord says you like adventures, so He's going to take you on some travel adventures doing His work. Oh, and He says to tell you that you will also visit Israel. Apparently, you've been asking Him for that, where something very miraculous will happen. He said you are going to encounter Jesus there. Wow, that is so cool. Like a road to Emmaus experience. He said, get ready, Joanna, because your life is about to change, and it will never, ever be the same again. And He is not kidding when He says that either, woman of God. Okay, I am hearing a name like Miracle. You will know who you are. Miracle. The Lord says your coming into this world was a miracle, and that He wants to do a miracle for you. The Lord says there are some things you really long to do for His kingdom, like build a place of worship where you live. He wants that too. He says there are many people where you live who are really hungry for His Spirit, who have no place to worship, and He is going to bring you the money and the means to build this place. I see a place filled with light and joy, so powerful in His Spirit that people fall out under the power after just walking into the door. I think it may have a lot of windows. I see so much light in there. He says to tell you, Miracle, that the money is coming, so start now making the plans. Start making the plans. I keep hearing $100,000, so you might keep that in mind with the plans. I think you are going to win this money, like in a sweepstakes or something, but I'm not entirely sure. Make the plan. The money's coming, he says. Build this house for me, for my people, so they have a place to come and to worship me. This will bring joy to me and to my people. Tell all who come there they must honor me in all they do, and I will bless them. And I will also bless you abundantly. Okay, there's a young man listening to this. You have medium brown, sandy looking hair, kind of wavy. You're pretty tall, though not unusually tall. You spend your days just kind of, you know, hanging out, talking to friends, and kicking it. You're aimless. You don't have any idea where you're going with your life. You kind of believe in the Lord, but not completely. The Lord says to tell you, sir, that you are running on borrowed time. There is a life-threatening event coming up in your future you don't know about. I don't know if it's an accident, an illness, or what. I don't know what it is. You need to begin to make up your mind whether you will believe in Him and pursue Him with everything in you, or whether you will not before this day comes for this event. You are double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let him not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So you may or may not live through this event that's coming, okay? The Lord says for you to choose you this day who you will serve. As my very wise, precious mother once said to me, figure out what you believe and then believe it. That's some good advice, too. That's exactly what I did. So, in other words, figure out what you believe and commit to it. Don't stop going back and forth. And one day you believe this, and then no, I think I believe this. And then no, I think I believe that. Because when you're in that frame of mind, if you need God's help in a life-threatening event, you're gonna need God's help. You can't get an answer. He's not gonna give you anything. The Bible says, "Let not a double-minded man think that he's gonna receive anything from the Lord." Make up your mind. If you're gonna be a non-believer, then be that. If you're gonna believe in the Lord, then pursue Him. Read the Bible. Listen to sermons. Go to church if you can find a good church. If you can't, then read the Bible and listen to sermons and find people to assemble with around you. Figure out what you believe and then believe it, because you have to choose now to either be a believer or not be a believer. I'm not sure how much longer you have left because of this event that's coming up. There's a woman listening to this podcast. You are going to open your mailbox one day soon, and there's going to be a large amount of money in there. But it's not going to be made out to you. It's actually going to be made out to someone else. But you're going to have the choice of whether to keep that money or take it to its rightful owner. That money is a test. Okay? A lot of times, for those of you who have not heard me teach this, a lot of times something will come to us that we would love to have, but it's not really ours. And it's a test to see if we have enough integrity that God can promote us yet. If you flunk the integrity test, then you get to stay where you are for a while, sometimes long while, before you get another chance to take that test. If you pass it, I think you usually get one or two more little integrity tests, and then you get promoted to something really good. So when that comes in your mailbox, I would strongly encourage you to take it to its rightful owner and not keep it wrongfully, even though you need it and you want it, because God will reward you, and what He will reward you with will be way better than a one-time money windfall, okay? Okay, there's a man who's listening to this. You're around the age of 30. You might be 30. And you are hiding some money for someone. I don't know if it's drug money or what it is. The Lord says you need to get rid of that now. Get it out of there. Get it rid of it. I don't know if you're going to get caught doing that or what. He says, give it to a good organization. Get rid of it. Get it out of there. Don't spend it. Get it out of there. Get it out of where you have it. Get it out of your possession. Okay, looks like this is all I've got for y'all tonight. I hope this is helpful to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know being betrayed by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. What you may not know is that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their Christian walk if they want to go higher. No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns against you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share the good news about why betrayal visits Christians and how to pass this test once and for all. Don't let your betrayal catch you by surprise. Get the Judas Test on Amazon.com in print and Kindle versions. The Judas Test. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. Available in print version, Kindle version, and new audiobook.
Chapter 15, Curse of Illegitimacy, also known as the Bastard Curse. What is the illegitimacy curse, also known as the bastard curse? What does it cause, and how can you tell if you're living under it? Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard is commonly defined as a child conceived out of wedlock. Notice that definition is not defined by when the child is born, but when it was conceived. A recent study by the CDC shows 40.6% of U.S. births were to unmarried women in 2013, which means this curse is rampant in our population right now. Deuteronomy 23:2 says a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Although scripture does not say definitively how long a generation is, if it is even 40 years, that means this curse continues for a minimum of 400 years on these children and their generations. What happens if someone does not enter the congregation of the Lord? They lose all the benefits of the congregation, also called the assembly in the Strong's. They lose the fellowship, encouragement, and other benefits of being part of the congregation or assembly of the Lord. This curse is lust and rebellion based. Lust because it is lust that causes us to get into fornication instead of waiting on marriage and God's full blessing on our union. And rebellion because fornication is rebellion against God's rules about sex and His way of doing things. Because of the link to lust and rebellion will always be seen in the lives of these illegitimate children, usually for their entire lives.